if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's word. We're going to read out of 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verses 1 through 5. The text that we'll be looking at for the message will be Luke 12:35, but 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 says this: "But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and I thank you for this time to gather, Lord, in your house with your people, that we can come and sing praises to you, God. And Father, we just ask that you would tune our eyes and ears to your spirit this morning. And Father, may you give us a word today. I thank you for everyone that's came out this morning. I pray that you'd bless them because they are here. And Father, may you speak to them in a mighty way. Lord, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. We are going to divert from the marriage series this morning, and in Luke chapter 12, verse 35, it begins by saying this. This is Jesus speaking, and he's telling a story. He says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit." And so this morning, the message title is "Keep Your Lamps Lit." Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, "Keep your lamps lit." Now, I don't know what you all think about when you hear the word global warming, but I'm sure that there is this is a reality. There is a global warning. There's a global warning. I don't know if what you sense when you watch the news. I don't know what you're seeing. I don't know when you're hearing the same news that I'm hearing. But I think that we as Christians and we as people in this nation, I think it's time that the church is kind of waking up. And I think it's time for believers to begin seeing through the eyes of Scripture and discerning the times and the seasons that we are in. Because when we see and we see 21 Christians from Egypt lined up on the shores of Tripoli, and they behead them because of their faith in Christ, there's a global warning, and it's time to keep your lamps lit. Don't let the fire go out. You better be watching. I'm not sure when Jesus is coming back, but he did say he's coming back. And when I read and I see the news and I hear the news and I read the news and I see what's going on even in our own country, I get a little nervous. I get a little nervous when I hear about a professor, Dr. Sain, at Vanderbilt University, will you, just one state down, that makes a statement about the warnings of Islam in among us in our nation. And she is being threatened. She is being accused of all of these things, of being hateful. They are surprised that a woman of understanding of her, that she could make such statements as what she's making, and she is being threatened, and it makes me nervous. It makes me nervous to read and to know and to understand that there are some companies that develop maps, that make maps for, you know, those, you know what those used to be, right? You know what a map is. And I'm telling our kids, "Oh, what's a map?" Not Google Maps, I mean a map. And there's some that's marketing maps to the Middle Eastern countries that exclude Israel as a nation on the map. There is a hatred, there is a spirit in the world right now that is anti-Christian, anti-Jewish. And when I hear that and when I sense that, what that makes me want to do is not to be scared, not to be frightened, but it makes me want to make sure that the fire is burning in the lamp and that my eyes are looking up and that my life is being lived in the obedience of Christ and that I'm living about and doing and being ready for the return of the Messiah because Jesus is coming back. So this morning, there's some warnings that went out that there's going to be a snow blizzard. There's going to be a snow blizzard. And some of you might have been like me. I said, they're going to miss it. They're going to miss it. Because how many times do you see when when they give an advisory and it's like, you're just going to be all this, and then phew, they didn't miss it. We did, however, because my wife is a very prepared person. She sent me out to the store, and we did get our bread and milk. And John, we were prayed up. Okay, have y'all went to Walmart, and you had Jesus, but you got all your stuff, and it was all good. And we were ready, and here it came. When we as Christians begin to discern the times that we live in, we begin to see what goes around us, there's warnings all around us. And when we see those warnings, what it should make us do is to get ready. Be dressed in readiness, Jesus says. Be dressed in readiness. What does that mean? What clothes do we put on to be dressed in readiness? We put in preparation. Number one, most importantly, that you know Jesus is Lord and Savior. I'm telling you today that you can play around and you can just put it off if you want to. But today, the Bible says, if you hear the Holy Spirit, today, if you hear Him, do not harden your hearts, for today is the day of salvation. Well, I'll put it off when I get older. You may not get older. The day is today. And so this morning, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I would highly encourage you to say, today I'm getting my life right with Jesus. So you have to know Christ. You have to have a relationship with Him. Secondly, once you know Him, you got to put on the clothes that He gives us. You got to put on, there's all kinds of clothes. There's clothes of compassion and kindness and love and gentleness and joy, all that. And there's also battle gear that He talks about in Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Do you realize that we're in a battle every day? If you don't think we're in a battle, I want you just to watch the news. Because there's other religious organizations that believe we're in a battle, and they mean it physically. And the physical battle that we see is a picture point. It is a truth that's going on. It's a horrendous truth going on right now that points to the reality that there is a spiritual battle, raging war right now all around us. And we better have our helmet on. Put on the helmet of salvation. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. You should have righteousness consuming your heart. That your heart is guided and guarded by the Word of God. That when you read Scripture, that everything that you are part of, everything that you watch, what you see in Hollywood, what you see in the media, it is filtered through the lens of Scripture. And you can discern what is of God and what is not of God. Because there is a delusion that's coming on the people and coming on the churches in our nation that is diluting the truth of God's word. We are living like in the days of Isaiah when God's people, when His people, when they turned on Him and they turned and He said, you wicked nation, you have abandoned the Lord. And I think, oh God, help us as a nation not abandon you. Help us not forget how great of a God you are. For the nation who will observe God and honor God, God will have His hedge of protection around. But the nation that rejects Him, He can remove His hand. And 9/11 got our attention for 3 weeks. And that was it. So church, it's time to be dressed in readiness, to have your lamps lit, to be ready for the coming of the Lord, be found faithful, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Let me tell you something, truth is attacked, truth is, we're abandoning truth, And we are we're living in the days of judges as well, where we're calling right wrong and wrong right. And we got to have truth. And the only way you know truth is to know Christ and His Word. That's the only way you're going to know truth. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Be ready to share your faith. Be ready to tell people. Be ready to explain to people who Jesus is. It's time for the Christians to begin speaking the power of the gospel. It's time for us to declare the truth that Jesus is the Lord. He is the way. There is no God but Jesus. And He is our King. Do you know Him? And the shield of faith. To distinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. Because he's attacking. And your faith is what's going to press you through. Your faith is what's going to give you strength. Your faith is what's going to help you to overcome. Your faith in Jesus is what takes you through the hard things of life. The trials of life. The difficulties of life. The attacks of life. You better be dressed in readiness. He said, be dressed in readiness and have your lights lit. Keep your lights lit. Why? He says, let's go back to Luke chapter 12. Look at the next verse. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. You see, when the groom is getting married, most Jewish weddings are late in the evening. And when that groom comes back with his bride and they come back to the house, the servants there, when he comes back and he knocks on the door, he doesn't expect to be waiting for a very long time to get in the house, right? And so when he gets back and he knocks on the door, he expects those servants to be ready to open the door to let him in. They can't be out there sleeping. They can't be letting their lights go out and waking up in the middle of the night, because it could be at 12 midnight when he comes back. Could be early in the morning, 2 a.m. when he comes back. And so the lamps better be lit. There better be light going around. So if he does come and they are asleep, when they hear that knock, they get up and they're not disoriented. They see and they know, and they go straight to the door and they let him in. We can't let the lights go out. We can't be unprepared. We can't be unready. We can't be worried about foolishness, about all of ourself, and be so self-centered that we forget about doing the kingdom's work. Be ready to answer the door when the master knocks. He knocks and he expects his servants to be ready. He expects you to have a heart of compassion. He expects you to be able to share and witness and talk to somebody. If you're at the middle of Walmart or Kroger and somebody comes up, to be able to pray with them right there if need be. He's asking you to be ready to use your gifts and talents for the Lord and be faithful in that and serving Him. Being ready means to have your mind and heart focused on God that day. Being ready means getting the Word of God out, reading it, praying, looking to God and saying, God, today's your day. It's not mine. I die to myself today. Whatever you have in my path, let me be ready for it. Keep my light lit, my lamp lit. Today is a day. Maybe you have a divine intervention that I have no idea about, but you know, and I want to be ready to, when I hear the knock, I open the door. That I'm prepared and I'm ready. I'm ready in season and out of season. I'm ready to be who God wants me to be, no matter where I'm at and what I'm doing. That means I'm being faithful as a husband. I've got my light, my lamp lit, and I'm being that faithful husband to my wife, and I'm focused on her and nobody else. When the master comes, I'm not out somewhere in some town with somebody I shouldn't be with. When the master comes and knocks, I'm not on the internet looking at things I shouldn't be looking at. When the master comes and knocks, I'm there supplying the food and the nourishment and the spiritual development that needs to happen in my family. I'm leading my kids to know how to pray. I'm praying over them. It means being a faithful wife who loves her husband and is sold out to making sure that their house is a house for God. That when the doors open, that it's not just for strangers, it's for anybody to come in that can be blessed in the name of the Lord. Being prepared, being ready. It's about being faithful. It's about living out your life. It's about declaring the goodness of God. It's about being that person that notices that work somebody at work, something's just not right. And they say, you know, I just sense that maybe something might be going on. Is there any way I can pray for you? Because you never know what might have happened last night in that co-worker's home. But when Jesus knocks on that door, you're ready to answer. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will enter and I will dine with him and he with me." We use that as an evangelistic appeal, but that's not written to lost people. It's written to the church. It's written to Christians who would say, you know, I long to fellowship with you. How long has it been since you've really called on the name of the Lord? How long has it been since you've said, Jesus, man, I love you and I want to follow you? How long has it been since your passion? Oh, I have one thing against you, Jesus says, that you're neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. Look at your neighbor and say, keep your lamps lit. Keep your lamps lit. Keep them burning. Keep them burning. Be ready. How blessed, he says, blessed, verse 37, are the slaves whom the master will find on the alert. On the alert. They're ready. See that? When he comes, truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come up and wait on them. This is a flip in the story that you don't even anticipate. The groom comes, knocks on the door, and the servants, they're ready, and they open. And he says, then he will serve them and wait on them. Can I tell you that the love that our God has, Jesus, is so amazing. That he was the king of all kings, but he emptied himself. Took on the form of a servant. And he washed the disciples' feet, and he became a servant, and those who he finds faithful, when we get into the kingdom, we're going to be in the presence of Jesus. He's going to serve us at his banqueting table. Whew. That'll be a humbling experience. For he is the king who loves his children. And when he knocks, he expects you to be faithful. Open that door to when he comes calling. Whether he comes in the second watch or even the third and finds them, so blessed are those slaves. Be sure of this, he says, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. You also, be what? Be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect him. The Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Don't be like what happened in Peter's day. Peter's saying, well, some people are saying, well, he's not coming back. He's long. It's a delay. He's coming at a time when you do not expect him. You see, if you knew the exact hour, then maybe you'd have your lamp lit and you'd know, okay. And then you'd go do all your stuff, and then at that last little bit of hour, here we go, I'm going to get ready. No, we don't know that. So we don't be involved in sin, in self, in our pleasures. Lovers of men rather than lovers of God. Lovers of flesh, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. No, we live in an anticipation every day, looking out to see
Is it today? Is it today? Looking out the window, looking up to heaven. Today? Lord, is it today? Today, are you coming? Today is the last day. Oh, because if it is, I better be ready. Oh, there might be some sin you need to forsake. You may need to pray out the prayer of David when he realized his sin with Bathsheba. And he calls down, he says, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. You may need this morning to get some things right. I don't know what's going on. How do you get yourself prepared? Do you know him? Do you look out with anticipation, excitement, wondering, Jesus, is this today? Because if it is, there might be that person I need to talk to. There might be need that person I need to visit. There may be that I need to be faithful at work. I need to be that faithful worker. I need to be that witness everywhere I go. Whatever I'm doing today, I need to be that witness. I'm looking out the windows. There's an old song. It's long. It's an old song. It's my new song. And there's a video that I want you all to watch. And it's called Fingertips and Noses. And I remember as me and Michelle, as we were dating, I knew Michelle was going to go into teaching, and I thought of her and how she worked with our children even when we weren't even married, and she was just helping at Mount Pisgah. And I think of all of our Sunday school teachers. I think of all you who pour into the lives of our kids about teaching them about the love of Jesus. And I want you to watch this video and listen to the song, and I want it to penetrate to this desire that we never, never, never grow out of, that childlike expectation of, is it today, Lord? Is it today? Watch this. If you go ahead and fade that down and out. May we never, never, never lose that excitement. You see that, those kids? The best picture in that video that I liked was the old man. Because he's still looking. He's still waiting. Let me tell you something. For some reason, I don't know why it is, but for some reason, when we're young, when we're kids, we get so excited about Jesus. We really believe. You tell a kid, and man, they believe. And then we get older, and we start getting all caught up in the worries of this world, the pleasures of this world. And many times we lose that enthusiasm, a faith like a child that says, I believe you're coming back. You see, there's a lot of adults today, they mock the thought that Jesus could come back. Pfft. Nah, he couldn't come back. We're more intellectual than that, right? That's too simple-minded. You know what? I'm just a simple-minded preacher who's simply been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ, by his blood. And I have this very simplistic thought of life, that if he says he's coming back, I believe he's coming back. Now listen, as adults, let us not get caught up into our own self, in our own ways. Let us never lose sight that today he could come. I better be ready. Today could be the day he knocks. I need to be ready. Today, when the master comes, I'm going to answer. Today is the day to be found faithful. What about you? Are you anticipating the return of the Lord? Know this, in the last days, he says, here's what's going to happen. Are we living the last days? He said he could come back when? When we least expect it. Say, well, it might not. I don't believe it's going to happen today. Well, it could. Because you least expect it. Are you found faithful? Let's pray. Father, this morning, there is a word that you have from your word that tells us to be in a state of readiness. Lord, that we may always be ready for your knock, for your return. Lord, that our lamps are lit, that we don't let them burn out, that we don't move away, that we don't forget, that we don't begin pursuing the pleasures of this world rather than the pleasures of God, that we don't get caught up in the things of this world, but we get caught up in the things of God. Lord, help us to stay focused, anticipating with our fingertips and noses to the window, just anticipating, looking up and asking, Lord, today is today. I'm going to be found faithful today if you come today, Lord. At every moment, every evening, that I would be found faithful. Lord, I pray for those of us who know you, those of us who call ourselves Christians, God, may we make sure that our lamps stay lit. Lord, if there's something that needs to be done in our lives, if there's sin that we need to forsake and there's something we need to confess, that this morning that we would make that right with you and we would come and say, Lord Jesus, help me. I've let the fire go out, and today I want to relight the lamp. I've been lukewarm. I need to get on fire for you again, Lord. Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Master, that today that you'd speak to their heart and they'd say, I need to give my life to you, Jesus. I know I can't save myself, that I need to turn to you, God. And Lord, today would be a day of salvation and that we would rejoice with the angels. Father, help us as a nation. Help our nation turn to you, God, and realize that you are the God who hears, and that we cry out to you, Lord, asking that you'd forgive us of our sin and that you would heal our land. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come. Let's pray.